Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, and Ryan Kirkpatrick is here with us from Precision Sonar, which, as strange as it sounds, I've already been there this year. We popped in kind of like, they're like, we're going there. And I said, ooh, they got lots of good products. And now guess what? You are on the show. So it's
right.
I'm going to grill you. I want you to talk about that sounds, all that. You got some great stuff. You got stuff that also keeps people safe.
Absolutely.
And it keeps your products, you know, the stuff on your boat safe. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been working with Precision Sonar going on almost 6 years now. We're based right there in Western Kentucky. I actually moved from Illinois down to Kentucky to go to school at Murray State.
Right.
I got a degree in marketing there, and then worked for a couple of years right after college with FLW, and then I always wanted a sales position in the industry, and one came available at Precision Sonar, and it's been great the last several years. We've grown significantly over the last several years, constantly coming out with new products, and
right.
It's been a great experience so far.
And you moved from one facility to another one, probably because of the demand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had just outgrown our old facility, and we're able to move just right up the road. We're about a half mile from where our old facility was.
Right.
We're able to design it exactly how we wanted to, how we wanted to set it up. And so we've got a full inventory set up. We've got, you know, a shipping area. We've got a showroom, all of our offices, and then a machine shop where we machine everything in-house.
Yeah, it's a crazy, beautiful showroom floor. Because you think when you go in there, it's like it's just going to be something small, 8x10. And, you know, we don't want to, you know, we got to have room for all our stuff. But you guys did a really good job in there. You just had a couple lazy boys. Person kick back. Well, you couldn't kick back. You have to work.
Yeah, but that's right.
If the guys from the back came, you know, they might sit down there and have an ice cold drink to take a break.
That's
right. But, tell us, first of all, I know that you have a product that keeps people safe and keeps their outboard from when they hit things, keeps it from being a dangerous situation. So tell us the name of the product and how it works.
Yeah, so the leash is a patented product that goes around the back of the motor, similar to like a seatbelt in your vehicle.
Right.
So if you were to hit something under the water, whether that be a stump, a submerged log, in the case of Wes Logan last year on the Elite Series, he hit a dock that had broken off that was floating just below the water. That leash is intended to help prevent that motor from flipping up into the boat if you were to hit something. You know, at times that motor can flip up and that prop's still spinning at upwards of 6,000 RPMs. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that stainless prop at 6,000 RPMs right next to my head.
That's like scrambled eggs, but it could be your head.
Exactly.
So that's not good. Yeah. You have some other products. You actually brought one with you that is pretty cool. I think that's really good, especially with the number of graphs that people have on their boats now and not wanting to take it off and protection.
Absolutely. What this is the graph locks are brand new graph locks. It's all machined aluminum lock that goes on the side of the unit. It replaces the gimbal knobs where you screw into the side of the unit. It's a one-piece design. So you don't have to worry about dropping part of it in the water.
Right.
Also, I mean, being machined aluminum, it makes it just that much more difficult for someone to steal your units off your boat. And obviously, with how much money we've got invested in these units and everything nowadays, it's really important to make sure that no one's going to take them.
Tell us some more about some products you have there.
So, yeah, we've got our main bread and butter. What we're kind of known for is our console and bow mounting systems to mount all the electronics. And obviously, you know, today's day and age, people are putting 2-3 units on the console, 2-3-4 units up at the front.
Right.
And so we're able to machine everything right there in-house, make high-quality products to, again, protect those units, those high-dollar units from bouncing around, the vibration from going down the lake. We've got tempered glass screen protectors, our graph glass. So same thing that most people put on their cell phones. Tempered glass screen protector protects that unit from getting damaged if you were to hit it with something, a jig, you know, a crankbait, whatever. It's going to help prevent that unit from getting cracked, because most of the manufacturers don't just replace the screen. You're going to end up buying a whole new unit. So obviously several thousand dollars. So tempered glass screen protector is a whole lot cheaper than buying a brand new unit.
Right.
But we've got from wiring, we've got the Seclear Power wiring harness that we carry. Uh-huh. We've got cable management systems. Right. We've got transducer mounts. That's one of our new products as well that we've sold a ton of recently is the jack plate transducer mount. So you uh-huh. don't have to drill any holes in your boat to mount your transducers anymore.
Nice.
Just mounts right there onto your jack plate. That's been a really popular really popular product here recently.
Right. All right. So, do you have a 0-degree mount?
We do. We actually just released the Switchback 0-degree forward facing sonar mount. And what's cool about it is it serves multiple purposes. You know, the thing that most people realize about it first is it makes it a whole lot easier to switch from forward mode to scout or perspective modes. You can,
right.
It's spring loaded, so you just pull it out, adjust it into that mode, and you're ready to go. But the big thing is it eliminates the offset that the factory mounts come with.
That's right.
The factory mounts have a slight offset. So
8-degree offset.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So when you cast your bait out there and it hits the water, you can see it. And then as it's falling, you end up losing your bait. And that's because of that offset. You're turning that cone rather than being straight on. You're turning that cone on its side.
That's right.
And so it ends up falling outside of that cone. With that 0-degree offset or that 0-degree mount, you don't have to worry about that. So you can see your bait hit the water and you can see it hit the bottom.
What's it made out of?
It's all machined aluminum.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is absolutely. It heavy?
It's actually a lightweight design, being that it's aluminum.
Right.
So you don't even know that it's there on the end of the trolling motor. It doesn't add any significant weight to it, but it's built to hold up. You know,
okay.
If you're to hit something, you know, it's not a thinner material. It's not, uh-huh. you know, a cheap material. So it's built to last.
I have to ask, how much does it retail at?
Retail is $299.99.
All right. See, I was just curious myself. So y'all have to suffer through that.
Yeah.
But, well, he's here. I got to ask him.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll find out what that was all about. But anyway, let's go back. You were a college angler, were you not?
Yeah.
And so you were fishing for Murray State, which, dude, that's getting up there, Murray State. They usually have a pretty tough team. Probably
Absolutely.
they got some really good anglers. Did you on your team? Did you ever have anyone that's still fishing today, or decided to keep fishing as a career instead of going into sales? You know,
yeah,
or
absolutely.
Something else?
We've got several guys that current guys and past teammates that are fishing at a little bit higher level.
Right.
So we've got several guys that are fishing the Toyota Series.
You can drop names. You can drop names.
Yeah, well, one of our sales guys, Jordan Hartman, he's fishing the Toyota Series, fishing some opens.
Oh, good.
Last year I fished a full division of the Toyota Series.
So you're just holding back on yourself.
Yeah. But we Levi Cole, he's one that he's going to be hard to handle here
for
too long. Yeah, and he's on the team right now.
Okay.
Several guys. I mean, it's in kind of what drove me to get to Murray was being right there on the shores of Kentucky Lake. Lake, you can do a little bit of everything. You know, now today with forward-facing sonar, you know, we've got a bunch of fish that you can catch using forward-facing sonar. When the water comes up in the spring, gets up in the bushes, you can go flip. When the fish get out on the ledges in the summertime, you can fish deep for them. So a little bit of everything, and it's really a really good place to learn how to catch fish multiple different ways.
Right. So we're just going to break it out and get this Kentucky Lake deal in there. So it used to be Kentucky Lake was known for it had a decrease in the population of bass, or it was tougher to catch them because of Asian carp. But now it seems to be resurfacing, right? And tell us about these stringers of smallmouth.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, several years went by there that the population was down, and the Asian carp definitely played a role in it. But talking with the biologists, they've done a lot of study on it, and they've got a lot of numbers going back for several years that they've done population, the creel surveys and everything. A lot of their data points to high water levels create a bad spawn, which is kind of backwards of what you would think because that creates a bunch of extra cover for the fish to spawn around.
Right.
But what happens on the Tennessee River, water comes up, those fish go up there into the bushes, try and spawn, then the water level falls back out, and so they don't end up having a successful spawn.
Right.
So they're prior to the kind of downfall of Kentucky Lake. We had several years in a row where we had high water levels in the spring. And their correlation and all their data shows high water levels, you end up having a bad spawn. And that's what we dealt with for several years in a row. So we were missing a size class of fish there for a few years. We've had constant water levels, kind of lower water levels, really, over the last several years. And we've had some of the best spawns that we've ever had in history. So so we're seeing the largemouth numbers come up. And then also, over the last several years, we've seen the smallmouth increase significantly. I think the smallmouth probably aren't affected near as much about with the rising and falling water levels because they spawn a little bit deeper.
And so, earlier.
It's been really fun, you know, and it's cool, obviously, seeing those big smallmouth. I mean, from September, October, all the way through May, you better have some big smallmouth if you want to compete.
They're winning. They have winning bags of five smallmouth now.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the first BFL was won with 24 and change, all smallmouth, you know, pretty much that time of year. Like I said, you better have smallmouth in your bag.
Okay, I need to know. I'm in your boat, and we're right there, and either we go up Barkley or we run Kentucky Lake. Where are we going?
It's hard because I'm a Barkley guy. I love fishing Barkley this time of year.
All right.
There's a lot of cover over there, even when the water level's a little bit lower. Barkley's a little bit flatter, got a little bit more cover in the water. So traditionally, I always like to go to Barkley in the spring, especially when that water hadn't gotten up yet. Now, with the smallmouth, though, it's really been hard to compete on Barkley because of how many big smallmouth there is in Kentucky. So it's been a little bit more difficult here recently, but there's still quite a few big ones at Barkley. And you can catch them, you know, a bunch of different ways. My favorite way this time of year is just pick up spinnerbait and just go hit every lay down there is. And there's not much better than that, in my opinion.
So if you were out there fishing, live scoping, or just pounding? We're grinding.
It's hard because, you know, I'm known as kind of a shallow water fisherman. I'm known kind of that way. I like to get up in there in the dirt and flip and throw a spinnerbait, throw a buzzbait, throw a frog, whatever. But I've learned to kind of adapt, and I've actually used live scope quite a bit and tried to factor that into my game plan a little bit more. And so I like to mix it up a little bit, which probably ends up hurting me because I don't dial in one thing. But that live scope, I know, you know, some people give it a bad reputation, but I've compared it to deer hunting. I'm a big deer hunter as well. And when I see a big buck walking across the field coming at me, my heart starts pounding with the anticipation. You know, I can hear my heart jumping out of my chest practically. I've get that anticipation. Well, you know, even when I'm flipping, you know, you flip into a bush, one bites it, you set the hook, and I'm trying to get that fish in the boat as quick as possible. So you don't really have that buildup of the anticipation. But with live scope, you see that fish on that screen, you throw your bait over it, and as it's working up, you see that fish streak up. And that's the closest I've ever gotten to that heart pumping, you know, that anticipation, like deer hunting, because you're like, oh, is he going to get it? Is he going to get it? And sure enough, you know, he'll come up and get it, and then, you know, it's the fight is on after that. So it's really cool. If I always say, like, if there's one person that shouldn't like live scope, it should be me, because I like shallow water power fishing. But
kind of get some of those people away from your spots, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You probably are sitting at the boat ramp going, man, that offshore bite is just phenomenal. And like, everything on your boat is a jig. Hey, black buzzbaits. There's a rumor that you throw black buzzbaits. I don't know. I think it's the guys in the booth or something said something about that. Is that true?
Every now and again, I've been known to pick up a black buzzbait.
How about these yellow flowers? Tell us about what yellow flowers mean on Kentucky or Barkley.
Yeah, so in the springtime, we get these yellow flowers, the mustard flowers. They'll start to pop up generally around this time of year. As the water starts coming up, those yellow flowers will start blooming. grooming. And it's just a, you know, there's not much grass anymore in Kentucky Lake, not a whole bunch of cover. Right. And so that's the first cover that gets in the water this time of year. And I mean, some of the days throwing a spinnerbait, throwing a buzzbait, throwing a swim jig through that yellow flowers, you know, and the water's generally clear enough that you can right. watch your bait, and then you'll just see a fish come out and just attack it. And it's some of the most fun you'll ever have.
Okay, so I've been on there with Brad Knight and CP
yeah.
and some of the best Pop R guys. Pop R is still hot there?
Yeah, I mean, you can still catch one on a Pop R. You know, it's kind of a forgotten bait. You know, you don't right. see that playing very wow, much anymore. But, man, it can be fun, and you can do so much with a Pop R. I mean, you can sit there and walk it. You can pop it in place, and you can work it slow, and especially those fish when they get up there and start spawning. Again, the water clarity is generally, you know, you can see a couple feet.
Right.
But a lot of times those fish will spawn, you know, in 2 to 4 foot of water. And so you don't necessarily see them all the time. You can't necessarily right. see them with their eyes. But when you're just blind bed fishing, you know, a Pop R is a great bait to find one, yeah. you know.
P70.
Oh, yeah.
If we looked at your box, would you have maybe one or two of them?
I'd have a couple, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time sponsored by Pico Lures. Pico Lures, of course, has a complete line of hard and soft baits. They even have the Pico Pop. You can check that out. That's a popper that they have. They have two different sizes of those. So if I guess you're going to a Kentucky Lake, especially in the spring, make sure you take them and fish them. You can find their lures at picolures.com. If they wanted to find out more about Precision Sonar yeah. and what you got to offer, where would they go?
So we're out on all the social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. We've even got a TikTok. So check us out there just at Precision Sonar. And then also precisionsonar.com. We've got all of our products listed there with product images.
Okay.
And we love to talk to our customers. We're kind of old school in that fact. So a lot of our orders are done over the phone, so they can get a hold of us just by calling in. We've got a little bit of everything for everyone.
There you go. There you have it. Like I always like to end the show, make sure you keep your hook sharp, your lures in the water.